Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy. Yeah. Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to be my friend, give a damn, go get that pen.
Get a pen.
And maybe we can keep in touch. Like they did in the old days, it wasn't so long ago. And I wish you well. Sign your pants.
Sign your pants.
Dude, I said, and I miss you well.
And I miss you well. I miss you so
and
well.
I miss you well.
I'm one of the best at missing people.
I'm gonna back that up.
I'll tell you what, I miss you real well.
I like that. I'm gonna tell you what.
I'll tell you what. Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
What is the full thought there of I'll tell you what?
What do you mean?
I've said it, and that's what it is.
Yeah.
Like, well, he ain't going to school no more.
You never said someone's smart, and someone never went like, you should tell me what.
Tell me what.
Tell me what.
Yeah.
Tell me what.
Tell me what. Hey, are you getting excited about new bits?
Not there yet.
Really?
I'll get there. Well, when is what? But today, during the moment that my voice is captured by this device.
I guess you're...
Known as a microphone. We make the money.
I guess you're about 8-9 years ahead of me in terms of creating new stand-up. So maybe I'm still at the I still haven't talked about... How prayer chains are Christians' ways of gossiping.
No, I think that's a good way to be. I jot stuff down. I get up. I go to the coffee shop. I rant into my little notebook about different things that bother me or things I think are funny or blah, blah, blah. And then I sit on it and I wait a little bit. But it's a whole process that I don't fully understand and I need. And I'm getting more disciplined about it. But
do you find-
I would like to right now be like, hey, I know... I know what I'm doing. I know how to start again.
Oh, well,
I will
no.
say this.
No.
When is what? So any listeners who pay attention to stuff like this, I just did a show Monday at Elysian where I just went out to improvise for an hour.
I wondered, is that
Mike and Mike stand stood there the whole time, didn't even take the mic on the mic stand, stood there the whole time and did.
You Billy Wayne Davis.
I did what I was like, this is a fine hour of stand-up. I made it funny. I did I got little nuggets from interacting with the audience about things, but literally would just...
How'd that feel?
Go in whatever direction.
How'd that energy feel?
It's always the best. It's great.
But for you, that sort of stoic or stagnant...
I've grown to really like it.
But just in terms of physicality.
I've grown to really like it, standing there with the mic and the mic stand, which I would have never thought because
I had to do it once in a brewery because you literally couldn't move.
There's no space, yeah.
There was no space, and the lighting, if I went like this, I'm out.
You're out.
And so it really did at the end feel like such an exercise.
Yeah. Well, that's what started it for me was an exercise. When I did the Atlanta Relapse Improvised Week, I made sure to do 3 shows high. I did 3 shows sober. I did shows where I said, what if I don't take the mic out of the mic stand for 10 minutes? What does that... The whole thing was an experiment. So I was like trying to see what would happen. And I noticed that it's somewhat smart to leave that mic in the mic stand at this top because you conserve energy. that you can then later use.
Yeah. Also, you can build. Because I find sometimes, loving you and watching you a lot, and then also myself.
Whoa.
I know where your address is. I'll watch.
Okay. Okay, girls.
That sometimes you and I can we can start so big, we then have to find somewhere in the middle to come way down so that we can go up again. Because otherwise, it's not tenable.
I know. I think that's how I used to go out stand up. Like I would think about a concert.
Same.
Like, you got to come big, and then it doesn't matter. But I think stand up is different. It's like, I think the Dave Matthews Show at Hollywood Bowl taught me, hey, let's just get there. And then by the time you get there, around the 10-minute mark, a crowd is like, oh, yeah, okay, now it's more energetic.
You saying that makes me want you to do an Elysian version of Dave.
Yeah.
Where you hype the fuck out of someone that you bring out that no one knows.
Yeah, this Remember next comic was like, is we were funniest, like, most famous.
Yeah. We were like, he's about to bring out Roger Waters.
Yeah.
And then, that guy was amazing. By the end, we were like, holy shit, guy's unreal. Yeah. We just had no idea who this piano player was. Dave brought
out, we knew he would have a guest because it was LA. It was the end of this leg of the tour. Yeah. We were like, this is going to be bonkers, whoever he brings out. And then he built up a guy, brought him out. Everyone was like, I don't know who that is. Guy sat down to play the keyboard, the keys.
Yeah.
And fucking destroyed. Mm-hmm. So you were like, oh, he's amazing. Right. I am going to leave here having to look up who that was because I still don't know.
Yeah.
Should we do it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Let's go to the ladder! Hey. Hey. Me or you?
I want to say two quick things because you just, it made me feel like this bird was talking.
Yeah. That's pretty good. You know, you sound like the robotic owl from Clash of the Titans.
Oh, with the eyes?
Yeah.
Yeah. We watched that in grade school.
Yeah.
Tits. Oh, my God. I totally forgot.
Our teacher was like, oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, God.
I was like, Diane Jordal was her name. Mrs. Jordal.
What a name.
I know. Jordal. And, you know, the thing I was going to say was, if you're a potato,
okay,
a baked potato,
yeah,
we're naming this. We haven't done it as of this recording, so maybe you'll get to chime in or find out before everybody else.
Yeah.
And then also, if you have any feelings about these letters, that's where we read them.
Go to the Patreon. Sign up for our Patreon. All right, me or you? All right, I'll do it.
No.
I'll do it.
Okay, yeah, because I want to read the other one to you.
Dearest pen pals, peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a palette taking my first shot at being a pinner. Now, obviously, they've kind of... I thought it was a mistake, but then pinner, they're having some fun. They're having a little bit of fun here, folks. I live in deep suburbia, which only matters as context for this story. I was walking my dog in my normal, nice neighborhood and saw down the sidewalk two people veer off the path and pick a handful of apples off of an apple tree. My heart started beefing.
Beating, I think.
I know, so maybe the other thing is a... All right.
Out of, you know, my, what? Beating out of
my
is,
but beefing, like, out of my chest.
That kind of works.
I had a little bit of heart beef. You ever had heart beef?
A grabber.
I had heartburn from some heart beef the other night. Out of my chest like a mom whose child was trapped under a car. I felt like I needed to stop this crime from happening, but it was just out of my reach, and they disappeared between the houses before my dog and I could thwart this theft. I spent the rest of the walk thinking about the best recourse for this apple larceny. When I arrived at home, let's just say I was a bit worked up at this injustice. I explained the wrong that we needed to write to my wife, and before I got done explaining the moral failings of our neighbors, she cut me off and says, "It's probably a neighbor and they already granted permission." My rage balloon immediately deflated and I just wondered what was wrong with me. I explained the situation at work and learned that a coworker once returned home from work to find a whole family in her fenced-in backyard filling 5-gallon buckets with apples. And when she told the intruders to leave, they were indignant but compliant. Questions: have you ever overreacted, then found a simple explanation that immediately fixed the situation? What would you do if you returned home and found your apple tree was being fleeced? Do you think the simple explanation was correct in my Ocean's 11 apple situation? I wish you well, Chris.
Bling, 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 bling.
Did you know that in California, at least, if the branch is hanging over into public space, you are allowed to pick, well, it wouldn't be so much apples here, but it's oranges, grapefruits,
lemons,
limes.
Yeah.
You're allowed to if it's hanging over
into
a public space.
There's a crab apple tree on my property.
Miss Crabapple. Mrs. Crabapple.
From fifth grade?
Crabapple from Simpsons.
Showed us porn.
That showed you porn in fifth grade.
Did you watch the old Romeo and Juliet?
When it was the old one.
From like the 70s. And there's nudity in that too.
Probably.
And the weird thing about that is, well, I mean, she's at least portraying a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
And they were both oddly young. That felt uncomfortable. Did you ever see that?
Yeah.
Of course you did.
But they did freak back-to-back
sex? In
like in
school.
Requiem for a Dream?
I don't know
we
if
did
that,
that.
Sergeant.
Daniel.
We did that one, and then the Baz Luhrmann one. Like, we watched them both.
I don't think I've ever seen either of these movies.
And I was like, what a colossal waste of time in class.
I saw the Baz Luhrmann?
I don't know.
I saw the Baz Luhrmann.
Is it a musical?
No.
No. It feels like it, though, because it looks like Moulin Rouge.
Yeah.
That's Claire Danes and Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah. I saw that with the lead singer from Blues Traveler.
Okay. You guys went together?
No.
Well, then why do you want to give me the runaround, Daniel?
Hey, you keep doing that, that hook's going to bring me back.
Yes! Yes, sir!
I just want to talk about celebrities.
I wonder if these people were legally allowed to be poaching this tree because it was on public space.
I would have been very
So that's mad. One variable.
Oh, but they said they went off the path.
Yep, there you go. Also, someone saying
care?
They came onto their property and someone was in their fenced-in
yard. How
would
you feel about that?
I would lose my mind.
You know what you would do? I think you would either go, what are we doing? Right?
Yeah.
But even more pointedly, you're very good at the,
you can pick up what I'm putting down by the intensity with which I'm asking you this rhetorical question.
Yeah.
Oh, do you guys live here?
Yeah.
Because I thought because we bought this house, it was our property. But I guess I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Do you need me to leave?
See, I'm of the, like, I would walk out and go, oh my God, I didn't know you guys were here. Let me show you guys my new gun. And I would just go in the house. I don't have a gun. And then I just have to see if that works. But not only will that possibly work, they also might go, well, let's never go there again. That guy's crazy.
Sure.
But you don't want to be that kind of neighbor. But you do kind of want to be
that
like,
that would be funny if you made them start doing chores.
Just come on to my property, take my apples.
I've never used TaskRabbit before. Yeah. Come on, I need you inside. And then you start making them do all sorts of things around your house.
Yeah.
Well, you guys were here to help, right?
Yeah. I would say, guys, I got to be honest. I had a family here before. They took the apples. I found out that they took it, and they were so upset because they sort of felt like they were stealing from me. I go, and I've never gotten to know that family. I just want you guys to know, I'm going to wait right here. When you're done, I'm going to help you carry one of those buckets to your house. And the moment I get to their house, I just take shit. And I go, oh, we're not doing that? Oh, I thought that's how we do it.
They have one of those like key rings deals.
I'm like grabbing a PS5.
No, when you walk in, you're like Toyota. I'll take it.
Yeah.
I just picked it.
What do you mean? What am I doing?
I just picked the keys off the wall.
I'm taking it.
You would be so mad.
I would be very angry. But
people being indignant, like, whoa, sorry. Like, there is a part of me that I do appreciate, what the earth gives us not being wasted. Yeah. However, some of those things do need to drop to the ground because it refertilizes.
But also, what if you pick those apples and you sell them? What if you pick those apples and you bake them and you make pies that you sell?
What if
a part of your income is those apples?
Come get apples next Saturday, 2 to 4.
Yeah.
I actually have a time when people can come get apples because we don't use all
of
these.
But also, maybe you use the apples for someone just to be like, they're not using these apples. Also, let's bring 5 buckets or whatever the fuck it was, 5-gallon buckets.
I say this having one in my pocket in case you don't, so don't worry. But can I see your gun? No.
And you can.
Have you ever witnessed any sort of crime or thievery or like people being bad and just like wanted to stop it? Car getting broken into, somebody being mugged.
I've never seen somebody shoplifting being mugged, for sure.
I saw shoplifting, because I used to be a secret shopper. But I mean,
secret shopper?
I would walk around and pretend to shop all day, and I would follow other people who I suspected shoplifting.
And you did this on your own volition, or you were hired to do this?
I started freelance. Enough was enough. But then
I love that you said secret shopper as though we should. Should we know that? Did you know that?
Yes.
Loss prevention. I wrote a whole pilot.
Did you know
about
that? Why do I not know what it is?
We've talked about it.
A secret shopper?
Well, loss prevention, asset protection, loss prevention.
So what do you do?
I love the notion that you were just volunteering your time.
Freelance. Why do you guys keep calling it that?
Because that's what it is.
Freelance.
Yes.
Freelance.
So you just pretended to shop
to
try to catch people stealing.
Yes. Huh. And so you would go to Marshall Fields on State Street. Yeah. I would get there, dressed similar to this.
Yeah.
Usually wanted to have a jacket because inside your jacket you would clip your radio like a little like that thing.
Yeah.
Not the full size.
Watch out.
And then you'd want something also to hide on your clip where the radio was.
Yeah. Heads up, here they come.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we had codes for everything. And you would be like, I've got a 1098
oobly
going
poopies.
Through. Yes.
You're like, what?
You don't even want to.
It's like a guy talking to his shoulder saying, "Oobly poopies."
Bathroom problem.
It means I got a shit. Kids and guys, I got a shit. I got an oobly poopies
on 4. And so I'd walk around, and then there was also
I just had coffee, guys. I got an oobly poopy real
quick. A command center that where somebody was looking at all the cameras. They were base, and they would say like, my number was 81, and they would go like base 81. I go for 81. And they go, we need you at 4 South State for a possible 1098. And then I would go and follow the 1098 from a distance. And, you know, you see people just walking around like 9 pairs of jeans that they're not looking at the prices or the size of.
Yeah.
And then they would go into a dressing room. And sometimes you get a person of the same identifiable sex. And they could watch them in there. But then also they had blinds in the department store. Like, you know, they have pillars where mirrors are. You're like, oh, do I like this? Right. You push some of those and it was a secret compartment and you could like go in there and then stand on a thing and then look out of like the air vent and watch people from there too.
That does not seem okay.
Why?
Just because people are changing.
No, no, no. Those pillars were out among the racks.
Okay. Because I was like, Daniel, I don't think you worked for the organization you think you worked for.
No, but you, if I was stealing. And
anyways, we would video it and sell it on the dark web.
If I was stealing and you were thinking I was stealing and I went into the dressing room, you could go into a blind in a dressing room and be able to partially see me and what I'm doing. And there's signs posted that say that. Oh, man. And then if the person
did you ever like chase anybody?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Oh yeah. One time down through the subway tunnels.
Oh my God.
I went about 30 feet and I was like, I'm not running were down you playing a black dark
Beverly
tunnel.
Hills Cop.
I can't be down baby.
Like, were you like as you ran?
Do you see that's coming back?
Of course it's
you seen the
back.
Billboards?
You can't keep it away.
It's a Netflix.
You can't keep it away.
It says, if any information, please contact Beverly Hills Police Department. And then it is a picture of Eddie Murphy, and it says A. Foley and a badge.
Yeah. You can't.
Person
keep,
of interest.
You so, cannot not keep the CBS show. Down.
Okay. Here's mine in real life. Okay. I was at Gelson's. I'm checking out.
Okay.
One or two people in front of me. I'm watching this woman check out, and she has hidden in her cart at the bottom, like under a coat and stuff, wine, which I can see. And the cashier cannot. And I go, because all my training, I go, this 1099 is going to.
Right. And that's a tax form.
Is going to steal. 1099 is a Caucasian person.
Oh, okay.
This 1099 is going to steal this wine. But it's also not my job. But yeah. I got so infuriated. I was so mad.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so I know then, how you get.
So then. They,
I've stolen wine out. Around you before.
And then I walk up and I was like, how's it going today? I was like, good, you know, all the usual. And then I'm like, I think they had stuff in their cart. And they're like, oh. And I'm like, no, come. So then I go outside. And this woman is probably 71,
okay.
Right? Looks okay. Very to-do. Her husband's waiting right outside the store in a Lexus.
Yeah.
Oh. Like a SUV. She goes out. She goes on. She like loads everything. And I go to like the back of her car.
Yeah.
And I go, the wine, right? And she's like, what? And I go, the wine you didn't pay for? That's that you're about to put in your car? And then she's like, oh, I paid for it. I go, no, you didn't. I was right behind you. And then she just like gets in her car. And then I go over to the security guard and I go, so that woman's like stealing wine. And he's like, yeah. No, you don't even want to like say to her.
I love that you cannot stop freelancing.
I can't. I was so mad, man.
I would be mad too. Especially when you look and you're like, oh, you have money. Like you could pay for this wine.
100%.
But you're bucking the system. But also all of them don't care because, you know,
I wasn't
Daniel, the pillars of society are crumbling.
Wasn't going to do anything. But there was a part of me, and I still hope this, that her husband has no idea she does this. And was like, what was that guy talking about? And then she was like, nothing. And he was like, he said you stole wine? And then they lose, like, their divorce. They lose everything. Their kids are miserable.
You know why he does know? Because if he was in earshot and heard you say that, like, if Jordan is getting into the car and I hear that, I'm, like, getting out going, what's going on? What's the situation?
Yeah.
Unless I'm like,
well, your first defensive like, of like, oh, why God. Are you talking to my wife?
Oh God,
right? That would be.
It
first.
Wouldn't be that.
A I little. Would just, come on. What? Why are you confronting? She just went in the store. What's happening here?
I would have to hear the. I would have oh, to okay. hear the degree gotcha. Of confrontation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like if I looked in the rear view mirror and some guy was just talking to her, I would just be like, all right, so there's some interaction happening.
Yeah,
we got. But if I was in earshot and I heard the wine you stole, I would be like, whoa, and I would get out, and be like. What's the accusation? Like, what's going on? Unless I know it. And then I'm like, oh, God. Oh, God.
Go.
Put the wine in the car. I got to go.
No, dude. It's all of a sudden, it's just heat. It's just heat in the Gelson's parking lot.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Tom Sizemore's there and alive. Oh, that would be wild.
And it was just like a nothing thing. Have you that ever is seen, how I'm going to try to steal wine,
Have
though,
you seen Return now. To Me?
No.
My favorite rom-com.
But I have seen Return to Sender.
Da-dun. That address unknown.
I didn't know any. I didn't know any the rest
really?
Of it.
Really? No such number.
Chris,
no
I don't know if we've zone. Helped you at all here.
Have you ever reacted to a simple and fixed situation immediately?
Never once. Never once have I allowed a simple explanation to ruin
have.
My rage.
We definitely have. But things where somebody goes, oh, no, it's we already told them it's okay. And then you're like.
I know, but I still stew.
Well, it's hard to let that go once you've like locked your jaw onto like this like anger emotion or whatever. And somebody goes, it's actually all fine. Then
you're like, no, it's not.
Yeah, I got to go walk around for a little bit.
Chris, you're not a great cop.
No.
Daniel.
You got thrown off the case so easy.
Daniel cannot stop being a cop. You're not a great cop.
Loss prevention officer.
But I like that you want the world to be right. Good for you. Mm-hmm. We wish you well. Sincerely. Your pen pals, Roy Scovel.
And freelance loss prevention specialist, Daniel Van Kirk.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I never thought I'd take my three young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery, but that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which has morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back, folks. Daniel and Rory here, fresh off of our most recent live show in San Francisco at Sketchfest,
which was
this past Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, we had such a blast. We really did. And those people that were there, that remember? Mm-hmm. Do you remember that?
Yes.
That really made the show.
Yes.
And also the letters.
And when we stood up, I can't remember if you were there with me or not. But when we stood up at the beginning of Doug Benson's movie Interruption and said, we are also starting our own version of this, which will be way more fun.
We did do that. Yeah. I remember doing that.
To anybody who came out, obviously, loved it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And in a few weeks from now, we'll give even more detail about how we felt about the show.
Yeah.
We like to tease.
Probably in March. Maybe. We'll have a more detailed breakdown.
Of this.
Yeah. But we need to breathe. We got to breathe a little bit.
Well, after what happened.
Coming up, my special, I think, comes out next month. And I think next weekend I'll be in Traverse City, Michigan for a festival. Look that up on my website. And I think Australia. I think I'm going to be in Australia in early March. So come see some shows, you Australian pen pals. Come and check it out. It's going
to
be quick.
Can you do an Australian dialect? I'm not. I can't either. This isn't about to be me a flex.
I think I could do a decent. I think it is that it. Is that it? Is that it? Right?
It was almost. It was almost a really good.
Is it Australian? Is this Australian?
You're finding it.
That's not too bad. A kangaroo came.
There it is.
Yeah.
Yes, Sergeant.
Yeah. So anyways,
I was so that felt so good to see you find it. It's like when you're in a hotel room and you don't know where the switches.
Hotel room, you don't know where the switches. Wait, that's how you look.
You don't do that? And you also walk like, I'm going to hit my shin.
Do you know what I do? I go to where I think the switch would be or should be, and I just go, and then you stop, and you then turn your light on your phone, and you get so mad that it's over here, and you go, wait, well, why would they?
Have you seen the videos of the woman trying to explain to the guy how to make her orgasm, but using it through a light switch?
No.
Oh, my God. Her name's Amelia. I'll find it. And she's like, well, could you just turn off the lights? He's like, well, I don't. Like this? She's like, it's actually, just go a little bit lower. He's like, here? And it's then she's like lower. And he's like, I've never really turned off lights before. And then she goes, it's just simple. You just go, I'm just going to tell you right where to go. And he's like, she's like, you're just hitting it. There's nothing. And then he goes into another room. Or it's her, you know?
Yeah.
But the guy goes into another room and he turns off the light. And she's like, well, that's a different room. He's like, I don't think I've ever been in this room before. It's such a funny analogy for women not receiving pleasure.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's it for plugs and hugs.
What else?
I don't know. Go to my website. Check out stuff.
Okay. DanielVanKirk.com. Wine Club is out. You can Amazon, Apple. You can rent it and watch it. It's my feature film. I would love it if you checked it out. I've heard some early reviews from people not affiliated with the movie. Yes. Pennies and Pallors, if you will. And they really liked it.
Yes, they
did.
So
that makes me happy, but also more anxious.
Interesting.
Yeah. Oh. And then DanielVanKirk.com, Cedar Rapids, Des Moines, D.C., Fort Collins, Green Lake, Wisconsin, come to the Pacific Northwest. Other stuff as well.
Other stuff.
Daniel Van Kirk, DatKeem.
And OtherStuff.com. OtherStuffAsWell.com.
That's definitely taken.
Shall we?
Yeah.
Let's go to this last letter
we got right here.
Ooh, I get to read this to you.
To us.
Hey, pals. I recently completed my 1,000th or so viewing of the Back to the Future trilogy. As perfect as ever, and wondered about the holes in Biff Tannen's lineage presented within the films.
Interesting.
So, sorry, I felt like I had a little indigestion.
Okay.
So, Biff's grandma, who we hear yelling at him in part two, Biff, when you're coming back, I need you to rub my toes some more, is Buford Mad Dog Tannen's daughter/daughter-in-law, right? If she had been born in 1885, the same year Marty goes back to save Doc in part three.
Is that the year she was born? Is that
if
established?
She was born.
Okay.
I think they're saying. She'd be 70. So she didn't exist as far as we see in three.
Mm-hmm.
But even if she was born
that same year, she'd be
70. She'd be 70 in 1955. Makes sense. But we're missing Biff's parents. Who, where, when... Is what? The hell are they? Jump to 2015. And we have a young Griff Tannen, that's Marty's kid's generation, and the now 77-year-old Biff Tannen. What do you think? The kid just called me Gramps for his health? Hello? But who is missing? A Tannen for Marty's generation. The stand-in antagonist for Marty in both 1985 and 2015 is, of course, Flea's character, Needles. But as far as we know, he's not a Tannen. All of this ultimately begs the question, does being an idiot, asshole, bully, sex offender skip a generation in the Tannen family? Anyway, I could go on endlessly about all the aspects of this all-time classic franchise, but for now, I'll make like a tree and get out of here. Woody. P.S. Charles Fleischer, the mechanic who fixes Biff's car after the first manure incident, and, quote, put some money on the Cubbies guy in 2015, and the voice of Roger Rabbit used to come into Whole Foods, the Whole Foods I worked at, and say,
hey,
cheese, man, whenever he saw me. Cool dude. I think he's also in Zodiac, which I recently rewatched.
Oh.
He's so fucking good. He's in one scene.
Yeah.
I technically, it's probably three scenes, movie. But he's in one little tiny chunk.
It's scary.
It is. Not only is it very scary, the world building is it. That's what I'm always blown away by. The number one thing is you have to get me to care about the characters.
Yeah.
But when have you seen Holdovers yet?
No. Is it great? Beautiful. Paul Giamatti?
Yeah.
You see a lot of movies.
I love it. It feels like therapy for me.
I see maybe 1 to 2 movies a year.
Rory, see Past Lives first, and then see The Holdovers.
Past Lives will dominate an entire episode if you see it. You will talk endlessly.
We'll do a Patreon about Past Lives.
Past Lives is a movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's my favorite movie from 2023.
So I'll watch Past Lives.
And Holdovers.
Then I'll watch The Holdovers.
Yeah.
Then I'll rewatch Zodiac.
Zodiac's so good.
And then I'll watch.
So you've seen Zodiac?
Yeah.
Okay.
Zodiac is Fincher, right?
Yeah. He's just so, it's just so good.
It's so good.
Ruffalo.
I know.
Downey Jr.
Robert.
I will say, I thought when I went into it, I was looking for a Gyllenhaal. Good, I watched it on a Halloween night. I was looking for like a Zodiac? Real good spook.
Yeah.
I thought that's what I was doing. Mm-mm. And that's not what I was doing. And nah. It was a very good
movie. I don't know. I think there's some spooky.
Well,
there's definitely some spook. The song Here Comes the Hurly Burly Man. Or is it Hurly Girl? Here comes the Hurly Burly Man. Dun, 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 dun. It's so creepy.
It was definitely creepy. I was looking for a spook. Yeah. Like, and yeah. So, and that's not what this was. Fantastic movie. It just, what I was expecting
spook
something
became
different.
The term for CIA agent.
And they do.
Because you don't see them and they're like hidden among us.
I guess. I didn't know that till just now.
Yeah.
Do you know that it seems like they presuppose at the end of Zodiac that they do know who did it. And
I think it is quite.
They do make it like, in our world of telling the story, we're trying to tell you it's this guy.
But I think. Based off,
but they couldn't say specifically because
no, it's. I think it's very clear that it was that man.
Yeah, yeah,
very, very clear.
Yeah,
there's multiple things and reasons why, and also he was ID'd eventually,
and also when he passed away, it all stopped.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Okay.
Biff Tannen. It is interesting to note that the Biff doesn't have parents, unless our assumption is to be that his mother. Oh no, he says grandma. I'll be back, Grandma.
1955 Biff, future car waxer Biff, does not have parents that we ever see.
Right. The original Biff,
which do you think
we never see his parents.
We've written things. We've built worlds of stories, right? Do you think that's sort of the nod as to where this kid's anger comes from?
I don't know. I mean, maybe you want to build this world of solitude because he doesn't have parents or kids, but he has a grandchild and a grandmother. And a great grandfather.
Yeah.
In Mad Dog Tannen. Then his grandmother. Great grandfather. Grandmother. No one. Biff, who is being raised by his grandmother. No one. And yet he has, I can't remember in Back to the Future Part 2, what his grandson's name is, but the one that like flies into the bank or whatever and gets arrested.
Isn't that Biff?
No, Biff is the grandfather. In Back to the Future Part 2, Biff. The original Biff is the grandfather.
No, but he's still the guy who runs in a manure truck. That's Biff.
In the first one?
And in part two. He still exists in part two, doesn't he?
But part two starts in 85 and they go to 2015.
That's right.
Where you meet old Biff.
Right. Sometimes I get confused.
But they never, this is a great point that they never, they've in the lineage of the Biff family, we met a grandson, we met Biff. We met, or we heard the grandmother.
You're working backwards.
And we met Mad Dog Tannen. But we don't know who Biff's parents are.
And we never see the grandma.
And you never see the grandma. You just hear her yell at him when he's like leaving the house to go pick up his car.
Right.
After the manure incident.
Not as familiar with the movie.
Back to the Future 2 is so interesting because when he goes to the future, I have lost my luster in like, oh, look how crazy. But I do have to say the storytelling of going back to an alternate 1985.
When he's got the
and then having and to return to 1955 to fix Alternate 1985 is such an amazing sequel story.
Yeah.
It's really incredible.
It's wild.
Yeah, it's very wild.
So, forgive me, Flea is in Back to the Future 1?
Flea is in Back to the Future 2 and 3.
But how does it say he's the standing antagonist for Marty in both 85 and... Oh, because in Casino Biff 85,
well,
Flea's there?
Well, in 2015... Marty comes home where he's got the two ties. His kid's watching TV. Anyways, Marty gets a call from Needles.
Yep, I remember
that.
And
he's like,
hey,
do you want to make this deal? And he's like, I don't know. We're not supposed to do that. We get fired. And he's like, I just make the deal. Yeah, what are you, chicken? And he signs his, he does his fingerprint to sign the thing. And right before he hangs up, Needles like looks up to be like, there, I got him to do it. And then the boss comes on. He's like, McFly. And he's like, you're fired. And like, faxes show up all over the house. You're fired. And that's when the mom is like, what does this mean? You're fired. He's like, it's a prank from work, Ma. It's nothing. Not bad, right? Not bad. You know what I mean? And then, and so that's Needles then.
Oh, my God, Rory. That was so good.
It's not a bad voice. I surprised myself.
It was Australian.
It's not a good voice. And he was Australian, in case the musical ever goes there. But in now fixed 1985.
Yeah.
At the very end of Back to the Future 3, when everything has now been fixed, the time machine has been destroyed. Doc has now shown up in a train that he's turned into a time machine.
Yeah.
That is when Marty and Jennifer are at a light and Needles pulls up to want to race.
In 85.
In 85 at the end of 3. And this is the race that he ended up getting into a wreck, breaking his hand and never played guitar again. And so he looks at Needles, calls him chicken, and he puts it in reverse, and he ends up not breaking his hand.
I don't remember that at all.
These are the satisfying moments of that movie. The fact that they call back to this little story switch as to why Marty became like very like uninteresting in 2015.
Yeah.
It's because of that accident, that car accident.
Man.
There you go. That doesn't dive too deep into the Biff Tannen lineage, but...
We talked about this in the Patreon, second mention today, that I went and saw the musical.
Yes.
And they do make odd turns.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm giving away to tell you, but it's Iranians, right?
What?
Love it. Who's the terrorist organization?
No, the... It's... The Libyans.
Libyans.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't exist.
Okay.
They didn't even do that. Sure, why?
I think it's cleaner. Like, it's...
No, I want...
Well, in 1985, you put that movie out.
Like,
I know, I said
Middle Eastern yelling and...
Exactly, exactly.
I kind of wanted that.
Yeah.
But they did,
They
leave other problematic stuff in there.
But, you know, they also don't have the chicken... runner at all in the musical, which I thought I kept waiting.
What's the chicken runner?
Calling him chicken.
That's like, not.
Eat chicken.
Well, you know, I don't think that started until.
I thought
part
that
two.
Was in when he's in the. Oh, is it?
I think so because I remember. I mean, I was
somebody
truly
called him chicken in the first one.
Yeah,
I was
Biff,
truly so excited.
1955
about
Biff does.
Maybe he does. What are you, chicken? Yeah, maybe he does say
when they're in the diner.
Have you met any of the cast members?
Yes. I have met
Biff.
Biff.
I forget his name. He's such a good
Tom Wilson. Tom. And I've met, I recently met the guy who in Back to the Future 2, alternate 1955, when they have to redo it, when Marty runs up to... punched Biff and grabs the almanac and runs off. The guy who goes, I think he just stole his wallet. I think that man just stole his wallet. Do you remember that?
Yes.
That guy is in You're Cordially Invited. And the day that we were shooting, I go, Back to the Future 2, huh? And he goes, oh, yeah, it was a long time ago. I was like, yeah, I've now met, I think I've met other people, but
yeah.
I was like, I've now met this many people in Back to the Future. There's someone else I've also met that
when
I've met, Billy Zane, when we were trying to rent a house, Jordan and I, we showed up at this house, this woman and Billy Zane, and I said to Jordan, I go, that's Billy Zane. I go, this is bizarre. We're about to go look at this rental house with Billy Zane. And then, you know, we're walking through and this person's like, oh, you guys don't mind, I'm showing the house to both potential renters at the same time. And we're like, we don't care. And they were like, we don't care. And then everybody introduced themselves. And Billy was like, this is my sister. I'm trying to help her, like, find a place to, like,
he's being blasé about
live. And truly, we were just like, God, he's exactly, it's just Billy Zane. Like, exactly.
Really?
Like, you haven't seen Billy Zane in a long time. And right now in your head, you still think he looks like Titanic Billy Zane.
Or at least Zoolander. Even that, or at least Zoolander. Yeah.
And even then, I was like, this is still Billy Zane. Like, even then. That was now that was 10-ish years ago.
I wonder what he's up to right now. So in
crushing
in
it.
Wine Club, there's this role of a guy who's just sort of like this like a little goofy old timer guy a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
And I show up to set, and his name's Dean. I feel horrible right now that I'm not remembering.
Dean Cameron.
Dean Cameron. That's what I was going to say. And it felt like the name of some other actor.
Dove Cameron.
Dean Cameron.
Dean Cameron. My favorite. Favorite
person
favorite
ever.
Superman oh slash my person. God.
To this day.
Twitter. Ugh, to this crush day. It. Crush it. Tweet. Please tweet. Tell me your angle.
In Wine Club, Dean Cameron plays the older like a guy that my character is like, I just don't know what to do here, sort of person. And he's like, I'll tell you what you should do. So I show up to set and I'm talking to Dean Cameron and I'm like,
Dean,
you feel like an uncle I knew in my childhood and I couldn't place it.
Yeah.
Have I ever told you this?
No.
He is
an uncle that I couldn't place from my childhood.
And so I'm like, how do I know this guy?
I'm your uncle.
Yes. And it dawns, I finally realize he was in the movie Summer School.
Oh, okay.
And he played one of the two guys that are always doing horror makeup stuff.
Chainsaw.
Was it?
He played Chainsaw.
Now, I don't really know why, and maybe you can say, no, Daniel, that was all of us.
Yeah.
You know, I very isolated in Rochelle, and I was also the oldest in my family, so I didn't have a lot of people going like, everybody's into this. You need to check this band out or movie or whatever. Yeah, yeah. So if I found things, I didn't know how much it permeated unless my friends were really big. But if it came to comedy and stuff, I was sort of on an island.
Yeah, yeah.
And Summer School, every time there was like a free HBO weekend or whatever, it felt like that was on there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would watch this. Something about it spoke to me. That Mark Harmon, Devil May Care attitude.
It's got the spring break
and
vibe to
yes,
it.
And it's summer. And you can keep Courtney reliving Thorne it. Smith and I,
because it lives in a world that is so carefree. The things that they are having to worry about are just not, they're not real giant problems. And it feels good to see people being like, man, our problems are crazy. And you get to go, ah, that's not that bad. And you go, oh, what a great world that could be.
And so like getting to, there also is, and I mean, I know you've had it too, but there was a moment of like, I watched you on a 19-inch color TV hooked up to a VCR in Rochelle, Illinois, living in my grandma's house.
Yeah.
And now I'm the lead in a movie that you're in with me. And don't get me wrong, I feel way cooler about this than you do.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was just, it felt so cool. Like, we were Back to the Future. I'd be like, Summer School? And he's like, yeah, man.
Yeah.
And he was the nicest guy. We're still friends on Instagram. He comments on stuff.
Yeah.
A little bit, dude. It just felt so great. Yeah. Yeah, I would, if he wanted to, I'd have him on here.
Yeah.
Have Chainsaw.
He would be so good.
Hit him up.
He would be so good.
Hit him up. I get aggressive. Yeah. Then ask him.
Okay. I read this.
Hey, Cheese Man.
We didn't even get into it. So if somebody wants to Patreon us out on this, one of the reasons I wanted to do it is because time travel like screws in my head so much.
Yeah.
Of like, are you always moving or is time moving? And then string theory and then flat circle. Last thing I'll ask you, about time travel. Have you seen Ghost Story with Casey Affleck?
No.
And Mira Rooney?
No, you can add more cast members. I haven't seen it.
But what about with Casey Affleck?
Wait. No.
Watch it. It's beautiful. And I don't care. Wait,
Ghost Story. Ghost, starring Patrick Swayze. I've seen Ghost. Does that count? Because that is a story about a ghost.
Mm-hmm. Murder. Okay.
Murder.
Woody, thanks for sending this in. We could talk about BTTF or SBM forever. We wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Daniel Van Kirk
and Rory Scovel.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.